brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. It's Matthew with you here. And it's time once again for our question of the month. The question of the month for April 2024 was around whether you'd ever had the opportunity to introduce a Games Workshop player, a 40k player, an Age of Sigmar player to a non-GW game. You know, for example, Frostgrave, Rangers of Shadowdeep, that type of thing. And if so, you know, how did you get on? What did you play? What was the experience? What was the response? And I do realise now in hindsight, you know, this is a trickier question because it requires specific experience. You know, I have to think about it. I don't really even have anything to speak about on this matter. So it was great to get some real quality responses. We're going to play them on this episode, of course. And then towards the end of the episode, I'll let you know what the question of the month for May 2024 is. Right then, let's get started.
Hello, Matthew, and hello, podcast listeners. This is Johan calling in for the second time, calling from Taiwan, originally from South Africa. I'm calling in for April's question, which is, have you ever introduced a Warhammer 40k or Age of Sigmar player to a non-GW game? How do you go about it? What game you suggest or play, and what was the response? Well, yes, I actually did, and it happened not too long ago. A few weeks ago, I just had the idea to message some guys that I used to play 40K with, you know, back with like 8th edition and earlier, and I asked if they were interested in getting together and dusting off their models. I wasn't sure if they've been playing recently, and it turns out they haven't and have been interested in, you know, getting some models on a table again. So I've made the suggestion to play one-page rules, more specifically a Grimdark Future Firefight, which is their skirmish game. And we did have our first meetup about 3 weeks ago, and it went quite well. We ended up having two tables, four players, and we had a few games that night and also learned the rules. So I thought that was quite good, and the reception was pretty positive. Since then, I've got into contact with a few other guys that seemed to be interested in, saw some photos that I posted online, and they seem to be interested in playing too. I think in general, it seems like people are just, you know, interested and itching to get models on the table, and that they weren't really married to one specific rule set at the moment. So I also think we're sort of in a maybe a unique situation where there's not like a whole lot of people playing in a dedicated hobby shop near us with people playing 40K or Age of Sigmar. So I wasn't exactly pulling them away from any one specific game. They just, you know, they used to just host games by themselves and in their kitchens or wherever. And, you know, maybe community areas, community rooms in their buildings. So, you know, for them, it's just, you know, playing any game is better than playing no game at all. So I think everybody was just itching to play a game, again. And I have been in contact with a few guys, and it seemed like some of them have added new models to their armies and started building and painting, and even got one or two newbies interested who've jumped into the hobby, started building and painting. So quite exciting, and happy to introduce more people to the wonderful rules, which is the one-page rules, you know. Anyway, that's it for me. If you guys are interested in my channel, it's this tiny little YouTube channel that I started a while ago, very much inspired by this community, the Bedroom Battlefields community. You can find me at on YouTube at Tactical Tales Tabletop Hobby Channel. And I post some battle reps, some dungeon crawl playthroughs, and a bit of hobby stuff, that, building terrain and painting and whatnot. So it would be great to see some of the Bedroom Battlefields community in there. So yeah, that's it for me. Have a great day. And thank you for the great podcast, Matthew. I really enjoy listening to it on my commute every morning. Bye.
This is Liquid Colin from the Discord. So I challenged a friend to play a couple of skirmish games of Battletech. That went so well that we are currently working our way through a campaign in that rule set, as well as beginning a new campaign working our way through the first book of the Silver Bayonet. So I think it's gone pretty well for me, converting someone away from 40K.
Hi, Matthew. It's George here. Thank you for your amazing podcast. Yeah, I'm going to slightly cheat and give a variation on this question. I made my first visit to a Games Workshop store, a Warhammer store in central London last year. And I was pretty terrified. When I used to go when I was a kid, the staff there were just so ridiculously enthusiastic. I'd always end up spending all my pocket money on stuff I didn't really want that much. And I thought it would happen again. So I went in, I was actually buying some modeling materials. And when I went to the counter, with a shaking hand, I handed them over. And the kid working behind asked me what I was working on. So I produced a picture on my phone of a Ramshackle Games Orc GI. Ramshackle Games make a series of Vietnam-style Orc GIs, which are absolutely fantastic. And I showed it to the guy, thinking that he would poo-poo it and I'd end up spending all my pocket money on stuff I didn't need again. But actually, he acknowledged that it looked really cool. He didn't badmouth it or try to get me to buy anything else. He just said that it looked great. So who knows, maybe he went on himself to go and buy some Ramshackle Games stuff and just started a new and exciting life buying proxies. You never know. But thanks again and speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hello. Have I ever introduced anyone into a non-GW game? The answer is no, but I have been introduced to a non-GW game. A friend of mine showed me Dust Tactics in sort of the mid-2000s. And as someone that had only ever played GW games, I was really impressed. Like, suddenly I was aware that there were different rule sets out there. There was different ways to address problems that 40K or fantasy did in maybe from a more roleplay background. This just did it in a much easier, quicker, more graceful solution. So that was a real eye-opener for me, and I really, really enjoyed it. I am admittedly much more into just collecting miniatures, painting miniatures, and putting them in the display cabinet to look at. So I'm never really the guy that introduces people to games, but it made me think that there are rule sets out there that you could pick up, that you can use your 40K miniatures, you can use your fantasy miniatures, and it'll allow you to knock out a game much quicker in a much more enjoyable way than you might do if you just stick to the pure vanilla Games Workshop output only. So no, I haven't done it myself. Yes, I have experienced it, and it was good.
Hello all, Jason here. I haven't ever done that, so all I can comment on is getting new people to play games, and I've used non-GW games to do that. And it's very easy when you keep it simple, keep it lighthearted, and use Dungeon Saga. Frankly, I found it so much easier to sell Dungeon Saga to people than anything else. In my circles, it's very subjective now, obviously, selling Warhammer products is quite difficult. It comes with a stigma for my generation. I'm 36. We used to get bullied for it, for doing it. And people haven't forgotten that. So a lot of my friends haven't forgotten that. Younger kids, they'll try anything. Geek is cool and all that. And thank God for that. I'm all for it. But no. It's far easier for me to sell a non-GW product to people than it is a GW product. And it's the only other adjacent topic to this, in some sense, is getting current GW players to play something other than what they're into seems quite difficult at times. So current 40K players, whatever edition it is, edition 25 now or whatever it is, 40K, getting them to play second edition 40K. You know, it's not really much of a leap. It's just, you know, just play this one. I've got it here. I've got it at home. Oh, no, I don't know. It's not slick. It's not streamlined, blah, 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 blah. There's an inbuilt bias towards playing something that's not their current thing.
Can you play an older edition of Warhammer? I've got it set up for that. Do you mind? So, well, you know, it's not that good a game. So are you sure, mate? Are you sure? I mean, it was pretty damn popular. It's the reason the industry exists. Are you absolutely certain that it's not a good game? It's very hard to convince them. So that's my general reflections. Dungeons and Saga is great. And GW players, to a man, have their own biases, including me. And it's very difficult to shift. Probably wrong on the wider market, of course. It's probably just me in my area. But there we go.
Hello, this is Zesty Aardvarks, and I have indeed taught a Warhammer player a different game. This was about a year and a half ago when Avalon Hill was trying to bring back Heroescape, a game I grew up with and collected just about everything they had. And I never really had anyone to play with. So during that Avalon Hill campaign, I put together like a couple, about four armies that showed like the variety and some mechanics of the game. And I took a picture and reached out to the local game group, which is like all Warhammer players. And I was like, hey, does anyone want to learn Heroescape this week or the next week? And I did get a couple of responses. One was like, oh, maybe if I have time. And I got a yes from Jamie. He was a listener and he's been on an episode. And it went really well. He was surprised by the depth Heroescape has, being a Warhammer player, because, you know, as you said, he wrote it off initially. But yeah, he tried it, he really liked it, and like since then, for about a year and a half, you know, we've been meeting almost every week to play, you know, Heroescape. We both tried the new edition of Warhammer 40K. He's taught me a bunch of games like Battletech and Star Realms, and I never played Stratego before, but he showed me that. I showed him like the StarCraft board game. Another one from my childhood. And yeah, we've been hanging out ever since. I did try again with a different Warhammer player a few months ago. And it didn't go as well. He thought it was okay. But yeah, we've been meeting some local people around here for Heroescape and Warhammer every now and then. But yeah, that's my story.
Hello, this is Jason Rush in Louisiana. I have introduced some 40K players to Frostgrave and some of the other Joseph McCullough games, and the response has been great. They usually end up saying, wow, I just need this one book, and it doesn't change every 6 months, and I tell them yes. And they say, I can use any miniatures I want. And I say yes. And they say, wait a minute, I get 20 miniatures for $30. And I say yes. And it changes their life. So that would be my experience introducing 40K and other Games Workshop game players to another game.
Our question of the month for July 2024 is, what are your favorite hobby-related content channels? Aside from this one, obviously, which other podcasts, blogs, YouTube channels, or social media accounts most resonate with your little corner of the hobby? And also, let's hear about any of your own channels that you use to document your projects. Send them in by going to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail, and I need them in by Tuesday the 30th of July. That's bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail. And now, back to the show.
Hi, this is Gribbles Miniature, and I'm calling in to respond to the question of the month for April. I was successful in converting a friend from playing Kill Team to playing Frostgrave. The way that I was able to convince him was I showed how customizable and weird Frostgrave can get. And he found that to be a really good outlet for his creativity. As far as the response goes, he's basically full-time Frostgrave at this point. He does play some occasional kill team, as far as I'm aware, or at least he only posts about the Frostgrave games in our group chat. He has a whole set of terrain built for it, and he is constantly working on his crew of little animal critters. It's amazing to see how much he's latched on to an indie game. It's really nice to see. Does Frostgrave count as an indie game anymore? It's gotten so big. I like to think it is. Basically anything non-GW is indie to me at this point. Thank you for the opportunity to do a little call-in. Anyone who wants to see my work or my game, Our Town, feel free to check me out on Instagram. My name is Gribbles Miniatures, and thank you again.
Hey, it's Rob here, Fodzilla on the Discord. At Art Club, we run a bit of a halfway house for reformed 40k players. We tempt them across to whatever we're playing by visibly and volubly having a lot more fun than they are. We generally start with Games Workshop skirmish games, Necromunda or Mordheim, but once the scales have lifted from their eyes, it's on to Gaslands, one-page rules, all sorts of strange little skirmish games. And it works. Over the past year and a half, we've grown a healthy skirmish crew open to all kinds of things in a predominantly 40k club. You just have to show people what they're missing out on, and they're generally happy to get involved.
So great stuff there. Some really cool anecdotes and some really positive and encouraging stories overall. And on to May 2024, the question of the month this time around is going to be, what rules have you created or adapted to improve your favourite gaming system? So this might be a homebrew rule or something you've ported over from another game, but the point is that you tried it, it worked well, and you kept on using it. So thinking about some of my own examples here, in recent episodes, when Robert and I got together for a game recently, you might have heard that we were experimenting with card-based activation. So you've got a random deck and you really don't know which miniature, which character is going to be drawn next and get to activate. And I've incorporated that into Song of Blades and Heroes, and it worked really well. You know, I do like in Song of Blades and Heroes, I do really like the quality roll mechanic, and you can kind of be switching back and forwards for turns and you have to be quite tactical about it. But I also really like this approach, and it enabled us then to bring in event decks and stuff like that, which I kind of borrowed from Joe McCulloch's games, particularly Rangers of Shadowdeep. And another thing we've tested out recently is just getting rid of wounds altogether. You know, we're not tracking wounds or anything. It was just if you lose in combat, you know, if both players are getting the opportunity to roll a dice in combat, again, looking at Song of Blades and Heroes, if you lose that combat, you're dead. And I know that that wouldn't really necessarily work in a lot of games. You know, you certainly couldn't have, if you think about a game like Epic, you couldn't have a small group of infantry shooting at a Titan and the Titan's dead. But in small scale, or larger scale, I should say, larger scale skirmish, when there's actually quite a lot of miniatures on the table, and tracking wounds can get a bit overwhelming. So the scenario that we played recently, I had a lot of villagers, and the table quickly got a bit cleaner and easier to manage. So getting rid of wounds is something that I wouldn't always do it, but when I have incorporated it recently, it's worked quite well in certain situations. So as ever, you could give a wee shout out as well if you submit to, you know, your own content out there, your own podcast, your YouTube channel, your Instagram, whatever it is that you're documenting your hobby. So be sure to leave that in there as well. You could submit your entry by going to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail. That's where you'll find the wee voicemail record button. But if that's not working for you for one reason or another, you could always record it on your memos on your phone or whatever and email it directly to hello@bedroombattlefields.com. And by the way, the deadline for getting them in is Thursday the 30th of May. So make sure you don't miss the cutoff, just in case I start producing the episode and don't see anything coming in later than that, and then you miss the opportunity. So yeah, Thursday the 30th of May is the deadline for getting those in. Elsewhere, there's a really good interview with Mark, who you'll have heard on the show a lot, and if you're a member of the Discord community as well, he's really active over there. So Mark was interviewed on Josh's Crown of Command podcast, another excellent show, and I really enjoyed that. I've been on holiday recently and I managed to listen to that on the plane so it passed some time. Really enjoyable chat. And one of the things that they discussed was a massive game of Warhammer that took place recently. Mark was involved, Jason was involved, it was Ed and Luke from the Discord as well. So it was the four of them had got together, a proper old school White Dwarf huge battle, Empire versus Orcs and Goblins. I think a combined total of 16 or 17,000 points, something like that. So if you go to, well, look in the show notes on your app and I'll put a link to it, or if you go straight to Bedroom Battle Fields as well, you'll find the battle report, you'll find the pictures, and just it looked brilliant. Really gutted that I wasn't there as well. So I think they're talking about doing another one in the future as well, so that'll be great to keep an eye on. But yeah, a massive game of Warhammer, brilliant to see. And of course, I'll put a link to the Crown of Command episode in the show notes as well, and you could get a bit more details from Mark himself. One other thing as well, I naively took my brand new copy of Frostgrave Mortal Enemies on holiday, thinking that I would manage to read that at some point. I did manage a couple of pages on the plane, but as some of you know, like having a two-year-old to chaperone, you really don't get much time for doing anything other than that. So I had visions of myself poolside getting, you know, a bit of podcasting, a bit of reading and stuff like that, a bit of podcast listening, I should say. But there was none of that at all. But it's all good fun, but anything but relaxing. So anyway, that is just about it for this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Thanks as always for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes for all the links to stuff that's been mentioned, or go straight to bedroombattlefields.com and you'll find them there.